Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Suave.
I've been in my bag for a while, I'm invincible. Story of a young boss grinding, shit get critical. Calling on my bros one time, cause you special. I had some hood dreams and right rounds for my mentor. Every target that I shoot is on point like a pencil. Different route, change relationships, I'm so sorry. Came up from the trenches and I made it, I say hardly. Now
Bet Online is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Alrighty, guys. We are back with another episode of the What's In Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. As always, I'm your host, Andrew Robinson, and as you can see, we're joined by a special, special guest today, man, and we're going to give our guest the proper introduction that he deserves. But before we get to that, man, we got to get the business out of the way. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, go ahead and stop what you're doing, man. Go ahead and give us a subscribe, give us a thumbs up. It goes a long, long way. Drop a comment, say what's up, tell me how you're doing, you know what I mean? It goes a long, long way in helping this podcast get out to everybody who needs to hear it. If you're hearing this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, go ahead and follow the show. Give us a 5-star rating. That also goes a long, long way. Help put this show out to folks who need to hear it. That was my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the intro. One of the hottest up-and-coming artists out of the DMV. Make sure you guys are streaming his music, man. Show my guy some love, man. But without further ado, we also have another artist on the show, man. A guy who is super, super talented. Somebody who I am super, super excited to talk to today. He's somebody who brings a plethora of experience in the creative industry, the corporate industry, and somebody who we're super, super excited to have on today, man. We're pleased to be joined by Dan Carter, who's a creative marketing manager at Bleacher Report, and as well as an independent artist doing his thing on the ones and twos in the music industry, man. So, Dan, thanks for coming on with us today.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate the intro and taking time. I was like, we're in opposite parts of the world, but, you know, we're making it happen. So I'm excited. Appreciate you having me.
No doubt, man. It's hard to have you on as well, man. And shoot, this is something that it's funny, man. We're it's crazy. We're both at All-Star Weekend moving in and out different rooms, man. We're almost linked up, man. But it's crazy. It's like we could be in the same room, and it's like, oh, I'm here and there, man. I'm gone. So
that's the beauty of All-Star.
Yeah. How was life been since All-Star Weekend, man? Take me to the ones and twos. I know you've been doing a lot. Obviously, you got a single that's coming out real, real soon that we're going to get to. We'll be in the show, man. But how's life been ever since then?
It's been good, man. I think All-Star is always like hectic, but a good hectic where it's just like, you know, it's almost like it's All-Star. So it's like everyone is in town and it's like, hey, how many things can we do in like 3 to 4 days? How many people can we see? How many events can we go to in between work and stuff like that? So I think it, for me, All-Star is super fun. It's always a good time, but it's also a bit of once it's done, like, you know, you could kind of breathe a little bit and relax. But, you know, since then, it's been busy. I mean, I think it's a good time for all sports. You know, we had a NHL playoff shoot a couple weeks ago, last week and the week before. So that was the past 2 weeks. Final Four is this weekend. And then, you know, getting ready for NBA playoffs. And personally, you know, I love hoops, but also a big soccer fan. So it's a huge summer for soccer. So I'm in a great place, man. I feel good.
Love it. Love it. Now, I'm glad you brought up the Final Four, because as of this recording, as we're recording this, it is the men's and women's Final Four. And we all had the pleasure of watching the spectacle that was the Caitlin Clark versus Angel
Clark show.
You versus Iowa, man. What were your thoughts on just the game? That game obviously broke records, 12.3 million views, the most watched women's college basketball game ever. So what were your thoughts on just, I guess, the Final Four weekend, the hype around the game, everybody that was watching it, the fanfare? Just what are your thoughts on everything that's going around the women's Final Four right now?
I think it's incredible, man. I think like the women's Final Four, at least to me, has been more exciting. Like I know, you know, I've been following it a little more closely just because kind of the matchups and the rivalries and everyone that's, you know, everything that's kind of happening behind it. Caitlin Clark is incredible. She was cooking LSU. I'm like, you know, we won't name her because, you know, to be respectful, but who she was cooking transferred today. So I'm like, she's getting people off their teams. I'm like, she's super excited. I think it's going to be the same once she gets to the WNBA. Yeah. But I will say, as great as she is, them girls of South Carolina still undefeated. So we'll see. She'll have to get through them.
Facts. And you know what, man, listen, I gotta come to our girl. I'll say her name, Haley Van Lith, man. I gotta come to her defense a little bit on this one, because the Hooper in me is watching that game, and I blame Kim Mulkey. This is her fault for what happened, because she's, first of all, Caitlin Clark can shoot it from half court. So let's start there. You gotta pick her up dang near a half court, and they're setting these ball screens, and there's no blitz, there's no show or hedge up the ball screen. They're not switching it. They're playing drop coverage. She's taking two dribbles and just shooting it.
Pulling.
What do you expect her to do? Like, it's nothing you could do in that situation. You better blitz.
Could've cut anyone.
If it's me, I'm gonna go ahead and double team her and make somebody else beat us. If somebody else get 30, hey,
exactly.
I'm gonna tip my hat. You know what I mean? Well, they left my girl on the island out there to fend for herself. Get Caitlin Clark.
Or even bring it to high school, bro. Do a boxing one. Like, do some. Like, just make it, like, you can be open like that. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable, man. So, I'm blaming Kim Mulkey for that. Haley Van Lith, don't worry. You know what I mean? That's a tall task for anybody. A tall, tall task. So,
wherever she goes, she'll come back. She'll come back, for sure.
For sure. For sure, she'll come back, man. But, I was talking about this in my group chat the other day, man. I think I definitely want to get your opinion on this too, because I feel like, obviously, Angel Reese also announced yesterday that she's going to forego her last year of eligibility and go to the league and enter the WNBA draft. But she did a whole shoot with Vogue around the announcement. And I was like, yo, it's crazy, because the homer in me also, I'm a Maryland guy through and through, born and raised in Maryland. Right. She's from Baltimore. So I'm like, yo, it's crazy that somebody from the trenches of Baltimore can be in Vogue magazine, man. Like, and
make an announcement like that? It's crazy.
It's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, just the intersection of basketball and fashion and a brand like Vogue coming to LSU. She posted a TikTok today, like, yeah, man, I got Vogue in the trenches of Baton Rouge. Just like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? It's just crazy to see those two worlds come together and how big of a moment that is. You know what I mean? Especially for somebody like Angel Reese. What do you think that says just about the state of the game, I guess? How at the end of the day, man, all these things are aligned, whether it's sports, fashion, music, man. It's beautiful to me to see it come together like that. Especially for somebody like Angel Reese.
I think it's incredible. I think, like, you know, we all know, like, the WNBA, it's, you know, it's not making nearly as much money as the NBA. So I think it's dope that, like, these players, like, while they're still students in college, can, like, monetize one, but, like, also, like, show their personalities and be able to get brand deals and endorsements off of things they're interested in. So even through fashion, or like Flaw J doing songs with Lil Wayne, being signed to her, like, I think it's super dope. Like, all these, you know, all these athletes are being able to make millions of dollars in college, and it's, you know, it's something that should have been around, honestly, for a while. But I think now it's, like, more than ever, it's just giving them a platform and showing them that, like, hey, like, this is working. We could continue to be individuals, you know, we still hoop on the court, but, like, off the court, we have personalities, and I think they're able to just tap into different markets, which, you know, they see themselves as brands, which I think is cool.
Yeah. So the last topic I'll ask, kind of on the trending topic realm, before we get kind of your specific journey, man, is I saw something on Twitter. So I don't know if you've been following the men's tournament, but a guy by the name of Jared McCain plays for Duke. He's one of the best players. He's a freshman. He just signed an endorsement deal with, I forget the name of the company, but it was like a nail polish company because he paints his nails during the game, all that kind of stuff. And I thought it was great. I'm like, all right, cool. He's getting the bag and things like that, you know, but a lot of people were upset about it because they were like, oh, well, how is a male getting a nail polish brand before like a lot of these women, things like that. But like, touche, fair point.
Interesting, you know what I mean? Fair. Okay.
But it is different though. For I feel like a male to be painting your nails, especially somebody of his stature. Obviously, it's a very polarizing topic. But I kind of want to did you see that, or what are your thoughts on kind of that whole topic? Because for me, I feel like people have always been saying, oh, women should be getting a whole bunch of, you know, brand new, whether it's makeup, hair, like all these, you know, whatever brand should be like flocking in for women's sports, because at the end of the day, people say the money isn't the same, this and that, but like there are so many brands on the women's side of basketball that could be taking advantage of these athletes and the things that they're doing. So for me, I thought it was cool that a male did get a brand deal from a nail polish brand, you know, but I thought that, I guess, the discourse around it was also very fair and interesting. So I just want to get your 2 cents on the topic.
Yeah, well, first, I'm biased. I'm a diehard Duke fan. So ever since like Nolan Smith or Chris Duhon, like way back, like I've been a diehard Duke fan. So I'm pro anything that happens on Duke. But I think specifically like Jared McCain, I think it's dope, man. I think like it's funny. It's like it's polarized. Like, no, it's not. Like, who cares? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if that's what he like, if he wants to paint his nails, dope. He's cooking you on the court. Like, who cares what he chooses to do? Or not who cares, but like it shouldn't be a polarizing topic that he paints his nails. And I think like obviously don't know him, but like even just following him on social, he seems like he's embracing it. And like the more people kind of, you know, try to troll or make jokes, like he's not deterred from like continuing to, you know, show that, hey, this is how I express myself. And I think it's super cool. I think, you know, I think it's good, a good thing. Like a player of his stature, he's going to be a lottery pick. He has a nail polish deal. So does, what's his name from the Rockets?
Jalen Green.
Jalen Green has one. We did a run with him and he literally part of his seating. I still haven't remembered part of his, he got this. And I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, he got, I don't know what the brand is, but he got like a nail polish brand. And I think it's dope. I'm like, why not? I think women should be getting it as well. But I think, you know, obviously like the caliber of player he is, it's more of a trending topic, or it's something that's, you know, different than that what's normally happening. I think it should go, you know, both ways, but I think it's just cool to see, you know, him getting a deal. I'm not going to say like, sure, I think more female players should be getting it too. But in terms of him, I think it's something that he embraces, choose to do. And why not? You know, it's dope.
Facts.
Hey, that's crazy that I was sitting right there.
That's crazy, right? That's crazy. Yeah. Great topic, man. Hey, listen,
great question.
If you're hearing this on Spotify, man, go ahead and jump over to YouTube so you can get the visual. But it's funny, though, because I think you brought up a great point. It's like people were talking about, oh, he paints his nail, this and that, but he had 30 twice in the tournament.
He showed up. Yeah, he showed up.
You know what I mean? So, hey, he's still handling the business. I don't got nothing to say to that guy. You know what I mean? He showed up.
Exactly.
He showed up.
I'm a big supporter of him, so I hope he does well in the league too.
For sure, man. But now I want to kind of get into your journey, man, and kind of your story, man. And I want to take it all the way back. We always like to kind of work our way up from the beginning to present day. So I kind of want to talk about your upbringing. Where you grew up, talk about kind of first, how you first got into that, I guess, that creative itch, whether it was music, sports, you know what I mean? Talk about kind of the early days and kind of how that has formed you into the person that you are today.
Yeah, for sure. I guess to give you a quick summary from the early, early days, was born in Queens, New York, lived there for about 10 years. A lot of my family's from Queens, but I would say I grew up in a small suburban town, Hillsborough, New Jersey, which is in Somerset, which if you don't know the area, it's closer to New Brunswick, Rutgers, maybe like 20 minutes from there. All my life, you know, was super into music, sports. I grew up playing basketball, played kind of in the AAU circuit for a while, and same thing with soccer. Played both those in school, kind of realized, okay, once we got, you know, senior, junior year of high school, professional sports, probably not my route. I realized that earlier enough, but I was like, hey, I still love, you know, the space. I feel like I have a good knowledge of the game, and even, you know, just even friends who are athletes, being able to give them advice, or, you know, just kind of thinking of athletes as a brand. And when I would just see certain things, I'm like, oh, this would be a cool collab for, you know, I'm a Nets fan, so Vince Carter, Jason Kidd would have done this, and just kind of thinking that way. My whole life was, you know, I knew I wanted to work in sports or music. And then I'd say, you know, I've been, like I said, making music all my life. But once it was time to graduate, it was like, okay, well, you know, I have to get a job. You know, I have to make income somehow, and I can't do music full time. But I was like, how do I kind of blend the worlds together or work in either field? So I had a cousin, love her, and she was, you know, she was a music assistant. She managed a few artists. And I'm just like, man, you have a really cool job. You know, if you just hear anything, let me know. You know, I just would love to get in the field. I don't necessarily want to just be behind a desk, you know, in a suit and tie, which isn't nothing wrong with that. But I was just like, I don't think that's for me. So she ended up knowing someone by the name of PR, who's now the CMO of the Spring Hill Company. And was just like, hey, I know someone, he's starting a company. Would you be interested? And I'm like, sure. You know, didn't really know much about them. Obviously, they had, you know, LeBron James affiliations. I was like, that's enough to get me excited. But just remember early days, it was a basement, maybe three interns, an assistant, PR, and, you know, the company grew from there. But just kind of seeing it from the ground level of day one, okay, let's like order internet and order furniture. And I'm like, man, like, this is great, but like, I have a degree and could do a lot more. But, you know, just seeing, you know, step by step by step, and then being able to, you know, go to meetings. And I feel like I had, you know, I was pretty lucky early on because we were so small of a company where I couldn't be the traditional intern where, hey, you get coffee or you print this. It's like, no, you need to like come up with ideas and build the decks and pitch and present. So yeah, so that was my start. It was at a company called The Robot Company, which still exists now, but it's under this Spring Hill Company umbrella. And yeah, worked there for 8 years, just between intern, associate, account manager, and then kind of with the landscape of social media and all these creators, it turned into, you know, hey, there's all these influencers here, and, you know, being able to, I had a lot of relationships with people, and, you know, give them advice on stuff. And it's like, hey, brands are looking for that. So that kind of turned into my role now. And in the past two and a half years, I've been at Bleach Report, where I do creator marketing there.
That's tough. So I feel like as you were talking, it was like ding, 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 a bunch of
falls. Yeah, I was rambling.
No, it was great though, because I was taking notes just now, things I'm going to circle back to. But since you kind of mentioned it and we're on topic already, I want to talk about your time at The Robot Company, which I think for some people they might not click, is now grown into, you know, Spring Hill and Uninterrupted. And yep. I think for me hearing that, first of all, LeBron James is my favorite player ever. Player, but favorite person also, just because of his business acumen and the things that he's been able to do off the court with Uninterrupted as well. So for me, hearing that and then being like, dang, you were there on the ground floor of The Robot Company before it became what it is today. Talk about, I guess, the inception. You talk about being in the basement, right, and ordering Wi-Fi and ordering the furniture, right? Like, obviously, hindsight is always 2020, but seeing where it's grown from now, looking back to where you were at that baseline level, was it always that vision of like, okay, boom, this is where we want it to be? What were those early days like around the company, I guess, the goals and just those early days, man? And how does it feel for you now being on the outside and being like, dang, man, like I was really there when it first started and then seeing what it's into?
Yeah, great question. Did I have the vision? No, I think I was just like, man, I'm working, we're doing cool things. I'm like, this is dope. I'm like, I'm working in the field I love to, you know, we're associated with one of the greatest basketball players ever. And, you know, we're doing cool work. So I think for me, I'm just like, cool, let's just see how far this goes. I think obviously they probably had a greater vision, which, you know, which is panning out to what people see now. But I think for me, like the biggest learning point there was just like, you know, being able to, you know, at times where it could be frustrating, where it's like, hey, like I have a certain job, but I'm doing a little bit of everything. I think that's kind of helped be one of kind of maybe my greatest traits now of just like, hey, figure it out. I know that might not necessarily be able to like be a bullet on a resume, but just like, you know, getting shit done, for lack of better words. It's just like, we just figured out, and we, you know, there's no is not necessarily an answer. It's just like, okay, option A and B don't work, but what's C? Like, we have to figure it out. And I think like that was probably the biggest takeaway there. And then just, you know, being able to see, okay, cool, we went from 5 to 10 people, and now we have all these different brands that are coming in, and, you know, okay, cool, now we need like an accounting firm, now we need a marketing firm, now we need creative directors and people to build the decks, and just kind of seeing that evolve was just a really cool process. Like, I think I was super fortunate, because not a lot of people necessarily get to be in a company that long, you know, from literally like the first employee to, you know, to seeing it grow out and being what it is today.
Yeah. Did you ever have any interactions with LeBron, whether that was like through uninterrupted in meetings or just, I guess, conversations while you were there? Or was it kind of just like, he's up here in passing? And
it's definitely a pyramid. He's top of the pyramid. But I think like one of the coolest interactions, it's probably like a highlight story. So I'm working at, and to give you background, my favorite artist is J. Cole, right? So we were working a Beats by Dre party, meaning basically just checking people in kind of at the door, making sure everyone's good. And J. Cole walks in, but, you know, it's work. So I'm like, okay, you know, cool. What's up, Cole? You good? You know, nothing more than that. And my boss kind of knows, like, I'm just trying to keep it cool PR. And he's like, yo, come follow me real quick. And he taps LeBron, who obviously I don't know. I've maybe seen a few times in person. I'm like, says something to him. And he's like, oh, just wait here. I'm like, all right. And then LeBron taps J. Cole. And he's like, yo, Cole, I want you to meet my man, Dame. And I was like, wow. And from that, we had like probably like a 10, 15 minute conversation. But I'm like, yo, that was like a career highlight. And I'm like, okay, you know, that doesn't happen. I was like, man, is this real? So I think that was super cool. And I think, yeah, just even being in the field that I'm in now, I'm like, I still make music. You know, I say that's the 5 to 9, but like, even knowing that I work in a field where I'm like, man, you know, work is the priority, sports marketing, but like, you know, just being able to still have those connections and not have to hide what I do, and just kind of tying those two worlds together. I think that was definitely a highlight for me, for sure. Yeah.
That's a top tier story right there. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah. Hopefully we got a lot of more life where, you know, more stuff will happen, but that's always going to be a top moment for sure.
No, facts. I feel like one of the other things that I admire about just Uninterrupted and LeBron and that whole thing is how he's built the team, whether it's Rich Paul and Clutch Sports and Mav and Uninterrupted and PR, and how they've been able to, I guess, operate that whole thing. What can you say just from your time working with PR, working with Mav, about the business acumen of those guys and just the way that they've been able to execute the vision for Uninterrupted and Spring Hill and bring a lot of these projects to life? Products that I'm sure you worked on a lot over your time at the company, but I feel like people from the outside looking in, a lot of folks would be like, oh man, well, you know, Mav and Rich, these guys are just folks that came along the journey, and LeBron just brought them along because they're the homies. But it's like, yeah, these guys are super talented individuals that have clearly done amazing work with Uninterrupted and Spring Hill. So I just kind of want to give you opportunity to shed light on that as well, just given your experience working for those guys.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, obviously I was the closest to PR because I would see him every day and be in the New York office. But I think, you know, just knowing that, like, hey, these are people that, you know, we all have childhood friends. And we ultimately, like, you know, if we were in that position where we're LeBron, it's like, of course you want to bring your close people that you trust. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, they got to put in the work, and that's what they did. And, you know, you see it, like, they all have their own businesses. They all, you know, do a ton of things that aren't tied to just LeBron. Like, they're entrepreneurs in their own. And I think it's just cool to see, especially, like, you know, Black men, which, you know, being at that top is rare, like, in this field. So just being able to see them as they continue to build in their own careers, but they still continue to do stuff together. It's just like a really dope blueprint. So I think, like, you know, I think it's just something that's really cool to see, and they've obviously earned it. You know, it's not like, hey, they're just in the room because they're friends with LeBron. No, he's got a lot of friends, but they didn't necessarily go to school to learn the lessons and figure out what you need to do to, you know, turn this into business. So I think that was always something that I like really respected about the structure.
For sure. Now, transitioning from Uninterrupted and the robot company Spring Hill to Bleacher Report, right? Talk about some of the work that you're doing now for Bleacher Report. I feel like from Bleacher Report has some awesome content that we all see on social media and on, you know, yep, all over TV and things like that. They built out a bunch of just different platforms, whether it's podcast platforms, and brought in a bunch of media personalities and things like that. Let's talk about what it's like working for Bleacher Report, and then what the day-to-day is like as far as your role there.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's a huge transition from a startup for sure, being because it's under, you know, Warner Brothers Discovery now, so it's a massive monster that it's under. But I think the beauty for me is like I'm learning a lot. Like I think basketball and soccer have always been my two focal points of like, yo, I know a lot about these sports, but I'm like all our different kind of portfolio brands. Like I've worked on Sonya had a shoot for the NHL playoffs. So I'm learning a lot about hockey through NHL on TNT, which is a completely different audience and space than basketball it is. And I think like the beauty of it is like, it's such a large company. You could kind of make what you want out of it. Like, you know, if you choose to be proactive, you can do cool things. So like I was in London on vacation and I'm like, I know our BR football team is based in London. So I'm like, yo, for a day, let me, you know, reach out and see if I could just get a meeting and just say hi. And I was like, yo, I'm Dane. I'm based in New York. I love soccer or football, as they call it over there. And like, how can, you know, if there's anything that comes up, I know there's going to be a bunch of tournaments and stuff. Let me know. A year went by, nothing happened. Then a follow up. And it's like, hey, you know, if you're still doing that, let's, you know, let's connect and see if we get creators to come to a game. So last summer, you know, got to work a Chelsea game where we had, you know, creators come and we had a creator suite and we did interviews with players. AC Milan was another one, Barcelona. So it's like kind of all these like childhood dreams of, you know, all these clubs that like I, you know, watched as a kid. And now I'm like working directly with them. So I think the beauty of it is just being able to make what you want out of it and knowing it's just such a, it's a strong name to, you know, to have that, you know, connected to you. So, you know, whenever you send emails and outreach, people respond, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. I feel like that's the best. That's like ideal situation, man, is to be able to work in something that you actually enjoy. And for you talk about how being a soccer fan and then being able to work at these events with, you know, AC Milan and all these crazy opportunities, like how rewarding and fulfilling is that just to be able to work in an industry or in an area that you actually enjoy? Because I know a lot of people, they don't enjoy their job, and that's half of the battle right there. It's like you really be like, damn, I got today, man. Sheesh, man, you know. And I think that people always say it's so cliche, but it's like if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, you know. And having being able to have these different experiences and being able to travel for work, go to games, talking about working the NBA finals, all the different things that you get to do, you know, through your job, man. Like, how cool of an experience is that to be able to, I guess, have that through work?
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. I think like it's a balance, right? I'm like, we all want to survive and pay bills, and like everyone wants to make money. And I have friends who are like, they work in finance, and sometimes I'll listen to their conversations. They're like, "Oh, you make how much?" I'm like, "Damn!" But at the end of the day, I'm like, I think it's a balance of also, you know, making money, but experiences and like things that like ultimately make me happy. Like when I go to work, I'm not code switching. I'm not pretending to be somebody new. I'm like, these are events that I would watch in my own time. I would spend my own money to go to. And it's funny, like a lot of my friends who don't work in the field, they're like, yo, do you work? Like, what do you do? Why are you all at these events? And I'm like, to me, that's a lot of like, I guess what you call it, social currency, where it's like, you know, obviously we make money and it's a great company, but I'm like social currency in terms of like, man, these are bucket list things that I'll tell my kids one day, or, you know, I got to work under the greatest basketball player ever, asterisk, arguably, but in my opinion, yes. But, you know, and I think it's just fun, like being able to be in a space where, yeah, I truly value this stuff. And it's, you know, cliche, but like eat, breathe, sleep. Like this is, you know, stuff that I'm doing, that I'm in my group chat with my friends, but like I'm actually working and being able to have like some of an imprint on it, making a mark.
What would you say if you had to name maybe one or two, your favorite event that you've got a chance to work through, whether it's Bleacher Report, Uninterrupted, I guess an event or a place that you were, you're like, dang, man, like it's crazy that I'm here, man, and do work at the end of the day. What would you say the first thing that comes to your mind?
I'll give you two. The first one, El Clasico Miami. So if you don't know what that is, Real Madrid and Barcelona, every time they play each other, it's called El Clasico, and that's probably the biggest sporting rivalry in the world. First time it was ever played in the States was maybe 6-7 years ago, but it was in Miami, and it was kind of like a Super Bowl weekend, and we got to work that. So like We basically, you know, we set up youth clinics for kids. We set up like a whole fan fest where we'd have players come, sign items, throw stuff out, you know, kind of do nightlife experience with celebrities. And we also got to do a thing called Fam Jam, which was a celebrity soccer match. And it was coached by Draymond Green. And no, maybe that was the second year. I think it was maybe it's either Draymond or Odell and Drake. And I'm like, man, like I'm, you know, putting together the list of talent, sending outreach notes. I'm on the pitch kind of, you know, telling them, okay, this is what's going to happen next. And I'm like, man, this doesn't feel real. Like, you know, I'm like, just like the odd jobs we would do. Oh, so-and-so got lost. You got to go get them and drive them on the golf cart to the field. And I'm like, okay. Like, it was like Drake, Lil Wayne, like all my favorite kind of people. And we're just all in one room. And I'm like, man, I'm here enjoying it, but I'm here because, like, you know, I deserve to be here. Like we were doing work. And that was like, for me, just the first moment of like, man, this is one of the coolest weekends of my life. And I'm also, you know, getting paid to do it. So that was cool for Spring Hill. And then the second one, I think just like All-Star weekend at probably a Bleacher Report. It was my first day. And like, hey, come to All-Star. And this was the first All-Star after the pandemic. And, you know, got to meet a lot of people in person. I got to sit, you know, for the Saturday night All-Star dunk contest, go to the game. We're in a suite. I'm like, man, this is like a hell of a welcome to Bleacher Report. So I think just, you know, those two in itself were just, you know, the soccer and basketball angle, but those are probably my two highlights. There's a lot of stuff, but those are the two that come to mind.
Your first day on the job, man. You want to come to All-Star weekend. Hell of a first day.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, for sure. I'll be there. I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I'll gladly come to games for sure.
Yeah. So again, I want to segue a little bit into the music career, but last one I want to ask you before we segue is, for somebody who's listening to this, right, and they might say, dang, you know, I want to be able to cover El Clasico for work, right? Or I want to be able to pull up to All-Star Weekend and work for Bleacher Report, right? Like, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who's trying to have a career in sports and work at some of these companies, whether it be Uninterrupted, Bleacher Report, right? Like, how can somebody get in the door with some of these platforms to be able to have some of these type of experiences?
Yeah, I think it's honestly just being proactive and networking, which sounds vague, but I'm like, one thing I will say that it's not is like, hey, if you see a job description or like, you know, a job application, you want to send a job application for a job that's available and you send it and apply and then just sit and wait around, 99% of the time, you're not going to get that job. So I think it's just like, you know, doing the work of like, okay, who is the hiring manager? Do I know anyone from my network that's on the team? Is there anyone that's kind of maybe in a more of a junior role that I could have a coffee or one-on-one with and just kind of learn about? I think that was one of my like things that I do really well. I'm like, hey, if I was interested in someone's career path, it's like, hey, let's set up a virtual coffee or let's, you know, let's go sit down and meet. Hey, tell me about yourself. What'd you do? Nodding my head. Like I'm, you know, vaguely talking about myself, but I'm just kind of listening to them. And then you leave that conversation and they're like, man, yo, Dane's a great person. I'll look out. And I'm like, all I really did was just kind of express my interest in what you do. And as a result of that, that's how, you know, you develop mentors and people that are actually like, you know, instead of, hey, apply to this job, it's like, yo, let me connect you with my friend who's the hiring manager. And then you start to get in these circles and it becomes a bit easier. Obviously, you know, you have to have the qualifications and do the work, but I think it's all about who you know and who knows you. And if you're passionate enough and care about the job, you're going to figure it out.
100%. I think that's great advice for sure. So I want to ask you, man, because I want to take it back a little bit because obviously you mentioned you're from New York, you know what I mean? And I'm a Maryland guy, you know, and, you know, biasly speaking, you know, we got a little music culture and, you know, we got the Wale, you got my guy, right? Brent Fires right now, holding it down for the Wasteland. You know what I mean? Logic, yep. Couple of hitters from Maryland, you know what I mean? But unbiasedly speaking, you know, we pair the comparison to New York when it comes to the music and the hip hop and the culture. And, you know, for me, I always go back to one of my favorite movies is Brown Sugar. Like Brown Sugar is like one of my top five favorite movies ever.
Okay.
And it always brings me back to the opening scene where it's like, when did you fall in love with hip hop? And it's going through like New York and everybody's, they're rapping and freestyling. I'm like, yo, like that's New York. Like that's music. That's hip-hop. You know what I mean? And for all y'all who are hearing this and don't know what I'm talking about, you can pause this interview. Matter of fact, no. Finish the interview. Go watch Brown Sugar and then rewind it to this part. You're going to know what I'm talking about.
For sure.
I want to ask you, man, like, what was it like for you growing up in New York? Did that influence any of your love for music? How did that contribute to, I guess, your sense of just, all right, like, this is something that I want to do, man? Because I know New York, obviously, like, that's a huge thing. You know what I mean? So I just kind of want to shed some light on that.
Yeah, I think I have to say New York and Jersey, because I say that's where I grew up. But I think, like, the New York part, the first, I guess, kind of experience was, I remember when Get Rich or Die Trying dropped. And obviously, I'm young. I don't remember the details, but I remember that was one of the first clean CDs that I had to get. And I had that in the Walkman. I would just dribble the basketball, and I'm like, man, this feels, you know, I can't necessarily relate to everything going on, but, like, I can put myself in the scenarios through the storytelling. So that was, like, one of the first albums that I was, like, listening to religiously. And also living in New York, you know, not too far down the street was Jam Master Jay, rest in peace, from Run DMC. And I was, you know, close with his kids. And I'm just, like, kind of seeing, okay, like, his garage was just all Adidas sneakers. There was no cars in it. And I'm just like, yo, man, this is, like, just a lot of, like, the culture of hip hop. And then just being able to experience the 50 Cent album in Queens where everybody's kind of listening to it. So I think that sparked my interest. I'm like, oh, I'm curious for this. But then I think once I got to Jersey, I got more into not necessarily New Jersey artists, but, like, Lil Wayne was a phase. Tupac was a phase. Just all these artists where I'm like I said, I'm not necessarily, I can't necessarily relate because I'm not necessarily from those environments, but I'm like, I can visualize and put myself in those scenarios, and the storytelling was, like, incredible. So I think that's where I kind of started to fall in love with it. Those are probably my first two. And then, you know, just started to just try my take. I'm like, yo, I've always been a writer. Let me try to do something. Did a talent show in fifth grade with a bunch of friends. We won the talent show, and that sparked, like, we had a group in high school. Then, you know, we all go to different schools. So, like, in college, I had a setup in my dorm, and we would have Freestyle Friday. All the football kids would come to my dorms on Friday, and we would just record and, you know, have fun and then pregame and go out. But I think, like, that was just something that always stuck to me. And I was like, man, you know, other people enjoy it. It's something I love to do, but other people listen to it and share it. And I'm like, okay, this is more than just myself. And, you know, doing spring weekend at college, performing at a few other places and shows and stuff, it just developed into an interest. And I'm like, man, this is something I want to continuously do. Like, you know, I would love to be able to make a career out of it full time, but, like, it's something that I would say sports for me was seasonal. Music's the only thing that, like, never, there was no off season. Like, it was just something I was always doing.
Yeah. So I feel like, and I'm not an artist of any kind. I'm a shower artist, you know what I mean? A Grammy Award winning performer, you know what I mean? But I feel like everybody has that kind of switch where you go from, like, all right, like, you freestyling with your boys, you're doing it for fun. Yeah. And then you make that change, like, no, like, I really want to do this for real and, like, make music and perform. Do you remember when that moment happened for you? And I guess, what was that, I guess, first time when you were like, you know what, like, this is something I really want to pursue career and try to make money from this?
It would be my junior year in college. And I'll quickly tell the story. But there was a big festival. It was called Fest. And it was at Ohio University. And Wiz Khalifa was the opener. This was when Wiz was, like, on top. And they're like, hey, if you're an aspiring artist, submit a song. And whoever gets the most clicks, I think it was Facebook at the time, you know, gets to open up for Wiz. And I'm like, this sounds dope. Submitted my song. And I'm like, you know, there's maybe, like, a couple hundred artists. And I'm like, you know, I'm sharing it to friends. I'm like, go share this, post it on Facebook. I'm in, like, the top 50. And then I'm like, man, this is kind of passive. I'm like, there's 7,000 kids that live on campus here at Fordham. And I'm like, if I'm really going to do this shit, I'm like, I got to be more aggressive. So I was like, you know what? After class, I'm going to map out every single dorm. And I'm just going to knock and be like, yo, I'm Dane. I'm an artist. I go to school here. I'm in a contest. All you got to do is go to this page and like it. Some people, like, you knock, 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 knock. Oh, I'm good. I don't listen to rap. Cool. Most of the people were like, oh, this is kind of cool. Or some people would be like, yo, rap for us. I'd be like, cool. Here's a little 16 bars. Like, oh, dope, bro. I'm going to share this with my friends. And that spawned to, like, okay, top 20, top 10. And eventually got to first place. And I don't think, so the person who won the contest was me, but that ended up, who was in second place, was a guy who went to campus. So I think it was just easier for them to just be like, yo, we're not going to fly anyone out or drive up. But as a result, everyone on campus was like, yo, this was dope. Let's petition for Dane to open up for spring weekend. So I got to perform at our spring weekend at our school. And I think that was the moment where I'm like, yo, if you're going to do this, you got to like aggressively, you can't just be passive about it. And for me, that was the first moment of like, okay, I have like a bit of a community around me. And that felt good.
That's fire.
That's fire. It was nervous. I'm just knocking on every single door, every single person. I'm like, every person heard me.
That dedication.
Yeah.
That dedication. Like
4 days.
Sheesh, man. Hey, yeah. Off though, man. So talk about that first moment when you're performing at Spring Weekend. Like, because yeah. I feel like people don't know, man, them college Spring Fest, it'd be people out, they turned up. They out there. You know what I mean? Home in the backyard somewhere, like so.
Yeah,
for you, man, like for the first time being on a platform like that,
it was cool. It was like the first taste of what it is to like be an artist. Like we had a green room where they're like, "Yo, artists and your friends, you could come to the. We got a space in the cafeteria where you guys could hang out before. We got some food." And I'm like, "Oh, we got food? Like, okay." And then going on the stage, it was like maybe 1,500 kids, maybe. And I'm like, yo, this is like, I wasn't nervous, you know, maybe just a little anxious, but I'm like, yo, I performed. It was great. People had a good time. And it's like, man, it's kind of like, I want to keep feeding this. Like, what can I continue to do to do more of this and have more of these opportunities?
Yeah. So from that point, when you first kind of made that decision, right, of I'm going to go all in on this music thing, right, to now, right, you're still working in the corporate space, right? You're at Bleacher Report. You talked about the undergraduate at Spring Hill. And you mentioned earlier how you are in a space where, like, you don't have the code switch at your job now, right? You're able to kind of walk in authentically who you are, be you. And I want to talk about today how you're able to balance both, right? The artist, Dane the artist, but then at your job, right? How do those two things come together? Because I think on the one hand, I saw an Instagram post you were talking about, and you were like, man, like, saying you're an artist, like people, or saying you rap, it's like people like, oh, well, what do you really do? You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
It's interesting. You know what I mean? So how do you balance that today, right? Because at the end of the day, music is something that you can never really give up on. I always talk about, like, you know, Benny the Butcher, right? Like, he didn't really blow up until he was older. You know what I mean? Like, and you could pop whenever. It's only one song, one album, whatever the case may be, one TikTok little joint to go crazy, and now your life is completely different. So
yeah.
How are you balancing that today, man? Like, you know what, at the end of the day, I got to keep pushing. I got to keep making this music and, you know, keep feeding fires me, you know, but I'm also in this corporate space where I have a 9-to-5 and this is my job, right? Like, how do you balance those two things as Dane, just the individual?
Good question. I think it's definitely a balance. And at times it's like, oh, okay. It could be like a lot. Cause it's just time at the end of the day, right? It's like 9-to-5, which are vague, you know, sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's shorter, but I'm like, I'm working, this is Bleacher, anything that we have to do for work. And then I think the beauty is, like, you know, I work remotely a lot of times. I could close this laptop and open the music laptop and I'm right there. So I think, you know, it's just a balance of just time management at the end of the day. I'm like, a lot of people are like, oh, how do you do both? And I'm like, you know, I don't have a family at this stage. So I'm like, a lot of my free time is doing music. So where it's, you know, I just say the same thing. It's like, yo, you know, when people go home and they spend time with their kids, or if they have other passions and stuff they do, I'm like, and I'm not, I don't want to compare kids and music to the same, but it's just time things. So I'm just like, it's time management. It's like, hey, you know, that's something that I enjoy to do. And that's how I spend my time outside of work. So I think it's just, you know, it's just a balance of the two. But I don't think it's not taking away from anything. I think that's the biggest case of it. I think it's almost more of like a bonus where it's like, oh, Dane, you know, he does this. He also does music. And, you know, I'm not necessarily just talking about it. A lot of people can just, you know, rap or freestyle with friends, but I'm like, you know, I'm investing in myself. I'm making content. I'm making songs. I'm performing shows. You know, I've been fortunate enough where I've had brand deals through work partners, you know, through NBA 2K. I got to have songs in the game. You know, I got to do stuff with a few sneaker brands. So I'm like, I think when people just see you're doing it, it's just like, okay, yeah, I'm like, I'm not an aspiring artist. I'm an artist. You know, I don't necessarily have millions of followers, but like, I'm doing it. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's just like, you know, continue to do the things you love to do.
Man. And I'm so glad that you said that, because I think it perfectly segues into my next question is, how do you qualify like success as an artist, right? Because on the one hand, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, you didn't blow up, right? If you made it, you're like J. Cole, you do a tour, debut album, right? And some people's like, you could do music for, like I said, 10, 15 years before you get that big break or whatever that big break qualifies for you. So how do you qualify success as an artist, man? How do you continue to be like, you know what, all right, this is what we're striving for, this is the goal, right? What does that look like for you? Because I feel like, number one, it could look different for multiple people. But also, man, sure, there's so many people that are making music, right? And not everybody's going to be a, whatever, yeah, Grammy Award-winning artist or whatever the case may be. So how do you qualify what success looks like for you in this industry?
Yeah, I think first, I guess the type of artist I am, I'm like, there's a lot of substance behind it. Like, you know, obviously we get lit and turn up, but I'm like, there's a message behind it. And I'm like, I always want people to listen to my music. Like, I want them to meet me as a person, and then they hear my music and they're like, ah, okay, makes sense. You know, and that's, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times it's like a lot of stuff that pops doesn't necessarily translate to that, or it's a slower grind when, you know, you kind of go that route. But I think first and foremost, do I enjoy this? If I put this body of work out, am I proud of it? And I think that's, you know, check one. And then I think check two, it's like, obviously I'd love to be at a stage of, you know, a J. Cole where I'm selling out shows and being able to make money. You know, my main income is coming from music, but like, I'll do a show and 150 people show up and I'll sell 150 tickets myself. And I'm like, that's a win. Not everyone can do that. So I think just like being able to, you know, have a network of people that generally like rock with what you do. And I think that's huge. You know, there's a lot of artists. I think one of my favorite things, I'm at a show and this guy's like, yo, I'm so-and-so. It was a showcase and I'm one of the artists. And this guy's like, yo, I got a new song and it's got 1 million views. And I'm like, that's a lot of views. But I'm also looking in the crowd and I'm like, there's 5 people here to see you. So I'm like, something's not translating versus my song might have 10,000 views. I got 100 people here. So I'm like, you know, there's a sense of like, what's real, what's not. But I think at the end of the day, if I like it and my community likes it and supports it, that's enough.
Thanks. Now, I kind of wanted to bring it to present day, man, because obviously you got a single that's dropping called The Cookout, man. And I want to give you the opportunity to talk about that. Obviously, I want to get into the name first and foremost, Cookout, right? Because I feel like us Black folks, when we're thinking about The Cookout, we're thinking about the music, the food, OG, grill, you know what I mean? So, just where did the name for the song come from? Because I'm hearing the name, but then the lyrics of the song is like, yo, I'm the chosen one, right? That's like talking about the lyrics and stuff. I'm all right, talk me through that and the whole vision for the song.
Yeah, so I think normally when I make songs, it's like what most of the time what the hook is, the chorus, that'll be the name. But I'm like, for this song, it was more so like the vibe. So like the beat, it was kind of like a soulful sample. It's like feel good music, weather's starting to get warm. It made me think of a cookout. And this is something that like, hey, like a barbecue or whatever, like this is kind of like, you know, family vibes. It could be appreciated by like 18, but like my parents will rock with it. So I think like that was kind of the first part of it where it just reminds me, it feels like, think like the words aren't necessarily like, it's not, I'm not rapping about barbecue, right? But it's, I think it's kind of like, a lot of the lyrics, I like to call it like food for thought. So it's a lot of stuff about my mindset, my mind state, things that I'll, you know, see that I'm like, or maybe pet peeves, you'll get it in one of the verses, but it's like, it was just kind of me just giving food for thought. So that was kind of the pun or the metaphor for The Cookout.
I like that. So what is, I guess, the process when it comes to putting together a song, right? Because you got to get the promo, right? The release. And then, you know what I mean? I think it's a lot of people from the outside looking and they might just see, all right, you could just go to the studio, hop in front of the mic, and then boom, drop
it out.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Talk to us about the process of putting together a song, doing the visuals, getting the promo, and then the release, right? Like, what does that actually look like?
Yeah, I'm jealous, one of artists that can just, 30 minutes could be, I could wake up 30 minutes, boom, let me crank out a song. But I think that's just not, sure, I'd love to be able to work that quickly, but I just don't think that's, for what I'm trying to do, I don't think that's for me. Like, there's a little more thought in the process and in the writing itself. But I think it comes from like, okay, do I have something that I want to say? Maybe it's just, let me just write a verse. I'll write a verse. So I'll give you a good story for The Cookout. And it's actually a good story, relates to this whole conversation. So I'm at All-Star Weekend and I'm on the plane and I'm just, just wrote a verse. I'm like, yo, this is cool. This is what I'm thinking, which is the first verse for the cookout. But there's no beat. It's just, I'm just talking. It's just kind of free thought. And through work, I met my homie Justin, who manages an artist named Simba. And he was like, yo, Simba's performing. I knew some people at the MBPA, the Players Association. And they're like, yo, come to the event. I'll introduce you to Simba. I'm like, cool. So I meet him. And then they're just like, yo, this is Dane. He da da da. He does this at Bleacher. He also raps. And Simba's like, do you rap? I was like, yeah, like I make music. He's like, so if I call you on stage, you're not going to be shy. And I'm like, no, like joking. He's not going to call me on stage. This is his show. So he's rapping halfway through the set, stops the show. He's like, yo, there's a brother in here who says he could rap. Come on, I want to see it. And I'm like, oh. So I think like exactly what we were talking about, like not having to hide that, yo, I do great in my 9 to 5, but I also have a passion that I pursue that I'm also, talented at. And I got to perform the first verse there. And then from that, I was like, yo, he rocked with it. The crowd rocked with it. This is a good verse. So let me find a beat for it. And then, write a second verse. And that's kind of how the cookout formed. So that I know a bit of a sidetrack, but like I think a lot of times it'll be like, what do I want to say? What's the message I want to get across? A few producers I'll work with or know, I'll kind of check what they have going on, see if they send beats. Write, record it. I write everything and record it in my room, mix it in my room, send it to a homie to master it, and then I'll upload it. And then from there, it's like I have a few friends, my friend Brandon, who'll do like the visuals. So we'll do like a content day in the city. I'll upload it to the distribution platform. So, and then make sure like all that stuff, all the clearance and the copyrights are good, lease the beat. I'm kind of, giving the SparkNotes version of it, but making sure all the, the business and copyright set. Making sure all the content. This is like kind of the first time where I've done this for the song that you're gonna hear. And then I'm gonna release a song every month till the rest of the year. I have an album, quote unquote, but I'm like, I feel like it's just the attention span and the state of like music. I'd just rather do a song a month and treat that like an album and do a rollout for it. So that's kind of my process for the rest of the year.
Nice. That's a dope story though, man. Like full circle, right? From All Star Weekend,
Yeah.
and now we got the cookout. Like it's crazy how that
Exactly.
comes together, man. I love hearing stuff like that. So I want to know if the audience, right, your listeners, could take something away from the cookout, right? What message would you
Yeah.
want to take from the song?
Great question. I think the hook is like motivational in itself, but I think the whole purpose is just like, yo, everyone has trials and errors. We all have our own, journeys that we're going through, and it's an up and down path. And I think like at the end of the day, it's like keep pursuing your passions and pursuing your goals. Like there's no, it expires, there's no expiration date. The expiration is when we stop chasing these things. And I think like a lot of times it looks like overnight success through social media and seeing people that are like doing what I'm doing, but 17 and touring the world. And I'm like, yeah, that's just not my journey. That's just not my pathway. But it doesn't mean I'm on the wrong track. I have my own journey, and just kind of being locked into like everyone has different timing. Just keep going, keep pursuing what you're doing. And I think that's what's relatable about the song. Whether you're a hip hop head or not, I think the message will resonate and you could take something from it. So, just keep going and pursuing your passions.
Yeah, man, I think that's such a great gem. And it's crazy you say that whole thing about overnight success because I was talking to one of my friends a couple of months ago, man, in a group chat. And like, we're all like, we try to motivate each other and talk about our goals and all that kind of stuff, man. And he laid out this like content plan as far as like posting and things he's trying to attack in social media. He was like, yeah, man, we do XYZ, man, for the next like 365 days, like you just stay consistent with this plan, right? He's like, yo, like you do that, you'll be an overnight success. It was crazy when he said it because it was like, yo, you think about it, and it's like, I've been doing this chopping away for a year. Boom, 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 consistency, because nobody's seeing it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like you pop, and it's like, dang, man, like he went from this to this. And it's like, nah, you didn't see the work on the back end, but to the outside,
Exactly.
it looks like you're an overnight success, you know? And I want to talk to you about that, man, because I feel like music is one of those type of things where it's like you could be here just boom, 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 move right along, and then you have one song that just goes crazy, right? And now people are gonna say, oh, he overnight
Hey,
success.
one. Yeah, one hit wonder. Yeah, overnight
one song, oh man, it's like, man, I've been doing this. Do you guys see my catalog? Scrolling down for sure. Music, you see all these songs that I've been dropping, right? All these videos I've been doing, all these shows that I've been performing. This is years in the making, right? But at the end of the day, you just can't quit. You know what I mean? And I just want to get your perspective on that, because I feel like so many things in life just boil down to that, right? That whole idea of just not quitting, man, staying consistent, continuing to do what you do. And it's going to look like you're an overnight success one day. And people will have the audacity. You'll be like, oh, wait, what? You know what I mean?
Overnight, but, 20 years.
Man, right?
Yeah.
I just kind of want to get your thoughts on that, man, because I think the industry that you're in is probably one of the most, I think, this flagship examples of that. You know what I mean?
Nah, man, these are great questions, bro. I'm like, yeah, I agree 100%. I think it's like, it looks overnight, but it's like a lot of work. And I think I used to be mindful of like, man, if I have a song out, I don't want to oversaturate it or look like I'm doing too much, or like, I don't want to ask people to listen to it or seem like I'm desperate for shares. But I'm like, yo, if I'm not confident about my shit, who is, and why should they be? Like, I should be the number one advocate for my music. So it's just kind of like, you know, not being afraid to, in a smart way, but like, yo, I'm going to continue to push this. I'm going to push this as much as I can. And a lot of times with music, a lot of people like act like once the song's out, it's done. And you know, okay, on to the next. But I'm like, you know, for example, the songs that I was lucky enough to have a couple of songs on 2K, those songs were probably 2 years old that got put on 2K. And then the songs went from in a year, 3,000 views to 100,000 views, you know, because they're like, hey, what songs do you think would make sense? Oh, these are old, but like, they're not old to people who've never heard them. So I kind of look at it as just like batting reps. Like, it's like, you know, I don't want to just put one song. That's why I'm doing a song every month. Cause I'm like, if I get seven more chances or eight more chances, eight more at bats, there's a greater chance you'll hit a home run rather than just once. You know what I mean? So I think it's just continuing to pursue it and not being afraid to be like, yes, I am an artist. This is what I'm doing. And like, hey, if this triggers you in any way or you don't like it, you could unfollow me. And someone else will follow me that'll be interested. And it's just, you know, finding your audience and curating it that way.
Yeah. So how do you fight that internal battle, right? Because I think when it comes to social media, right, and content, you do have that internal battle. Dang, man, am I doing too much? Like, am I posting this? Am I, this cringe? Like, you have that internal battle. Like, all right, like, am I, like, how do you, at the end of the day, it's only too much for people who aren't interested. But the people who want to hear your music, it's like, yo, man, drop that. I want to hear it every day. Like, post that. Yep. You know what I mean? And I think that it's the hardest hurdle is getting over that mental battle to go out there and post, or to put yourself out there, or to jump in somebody's DMs and be like, hey, listen to this, or hey, whatever the case may be, right? So how do you as an artist like fight that internal battle of just whatever, what do you want to call it, pride or just whatever it may be, right? Of just, all right, nah, like I have to really go out of my way to post this or to reach out or whatever the case may be, because this is what it takes.
Yeah, so you can't be too cool, man. I'm like I used to be like, yo, let me post a song out. Oh, you'll hear it when you hear it, you know. Hey, it's out. Go check it out. No, I'm like, how is a song's never blown up that way, ever in the history of music. So I think it's a balance of just like, I know people who do it to me where it's a door where it's just like, yo, you're just sending me links. But I'm like, yo, make it personalized. Talk to people. If someone shares your music, hey, thank you. Appreciate it. You know, just kind of simple things like that. But it's just like, yo, you don't have to listen to my music. You don't have to come to a show. So I think it's just like building a community around people that like actually are engaged and care, invested in what you do. That's kind of the core focus. And then at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I've seen it just through kind of this run that I'm doing for this song. It's like, hey, I've gained 20 new followers just because I've posted content and people have reached out and said, yo, this is great. This is cool. And it's just like continuing to do that because like I have an end goal in mind, and that's like, I want to keep going up, and I'm not going to stop that because maybe one song doesn't hit, one song, the next song might. So I think it's just knowing that like, hey, you're getting better, you're trying new things, but at the end of the day, I'm only getting older. So I'm like, I don't think there's an expiration date on music. Like you think of the best, the big three, they're all in their mid to late 30s, right? and they're still, you know, at the top of their game. So I think it's just, hey, just keep going, keep putting in reps, and just knowing that, you know, it's going to stick, it's going to happen. But when it's not going to happen is when you stop. That's when it 100% won't happen.
Yeah. How do you feel about social media right today? Because I think the beauty of social media, one hand, you do have that kind of anxiety around posting and like hopping in DMs, yeah, and putting yourself out there. But on the other hand, it could be such a vehicle for driving, sure, your career, man, and outreach. And you've seen some people who have, like, I think of like Benson Boone, who was like a TikTok sensation, and he was like blowing up on TikTok, did the American Idol, and was like, nah, F that, I could do better on my own doing the TikTok. Hey. Now he's like, I mean, the beautiful things is like all over everywhere now on social media. And it's, yeah, like, we've seen so many people who have been able to use social media to their advantage when it comes to music, to like get eyes on their music and things like that. What do you think about just, I guess, the impact that social media can have on your career, on promotion, and the ways you can kind of use that to your advantage?
Yeah, there's just so many people, man. I'm like, you can only be grassroots for so long, where it's like, you know, grassroots marketing of like, hey, let me knock on doors like I did in college. I'm like, great. That's, you know, you build a relationship that way. And then that might be, you might develop more of a loyal following. But I'm like, the internet is literally access to everyone. Obviously, it's not going to hit or transition to every single person, but I'm like, why would you not just want to put yourself on a platform where it's reachable? And like, you can DM certain people, you can share your music out there, you can connect with other people that are like-minded and form a community of other artists that are trying to do the same thing. So I think social media, it's like, it's an incredible tool. I think if used properly, because I think it's also could be distracting, and you got to kind of be mentally tough, because I'm like, you know, people are trolls, or people might not necessarily like everything you're doing. They might just not like it. They don't even have to be trolling. It's like, yo, this shit's whack. This song's trash. Cool. You still listened to it and commented. Appreciate you. On to the next. You know what I mean? You still took time out your day to listen to it. That's a stream. Appreciate the 0.003 cents that you gave me. But I think, yeah, I think it's just like, I try to balance it because I work in social media too. So I'm like, even scheduling posts, like that's one thing I've been doing for this whole rollout. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to schedule a week ahead of time and it'll kind of post and, you know, we react in real time. But like, you know, I try to have a time where I'm like, okay, at night, I'm not necessarily going to be on it or be active on it. But it's also like, if you treat it like a job, it can be very beneficial. And you could reach a lot more people that way without having to leave your home. You know, so I think it's a great tool.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about, you know, a couple of minutes ago, you talked about how like you were able to combine the Bleacher Report and your music career and kind of reach out to certain partners and collab with the shoe brand and 2K. Yep. Right? Talk to me about that, because I think that that's, first of all, to be able to have, let's talk about the 2K one specifically, right? To be able to have a song on 2K is a crazy opportunity, man, and a crazy moment. But like, how did that feel though, to be able to go through those channels and like take advantage of your corporate job and your music and kind of bring it together to work for your benefit? Because I think that that's something that, one, a lot of artists don't have to their disposal to be able to have that kind of access and resources and things like that. But also just to be able to have the experience, the wherewithal, to be able to be like, I'm working in this area and I have these connections and this is what I'm trying to do. How can I merge these together? Right. I think that's a great mindset to have. And I think that's beautiful that I think you've been able to kind of merge those two worlds into one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just, it's not being shy, man. I'm like, we all have, if you do good work, that's the number one thing. It's like, we all have other things we want to do and accomplish. Like, you know, I'm probably not going to be working this job for the rest of my life, right? So it's like, there's other things and other goals that everyone at the company wants to do personally. So I think for me, it was like kind of getting out of my own head where I'm like, oh, I don't want to tell, because this is a corporate client. Obviously, I'm not going to be rapping in the meetings. You know what I mean? But I'm like, hey, you know, you make relationships with people, you network, and you know, they follow you on social media. It's like, oh, yo, you do music. Tell me like what you're doing. I do it by myself. I've been doing this for a while. And then, you know, client at 2K, was like, yo, send me some music. And Elfie, shout out to Elfie. He's not there anymore, but you know, we worked with him and he was like, yo, just send me your 5 favorite songs. You know, I can't promise anything. I don't know, but just send them to me. Months went by, nothing happened. and then get on an email thread and it's like, yo, we love these two songs. You know, which two do you think, which one do you think is the best? I was like, well, I love them both. You let me know. I'm like, I think they both make sense. And just organically from like the career and what I do, like I'll just naturally have metaphors or bars about athletes and NBA players because that's just my day to day. So it worked out perfectly. And, you know, that turned into, okay, cool. We'll connect you with the licensing team. Do you have your stuff cleared? Yes. Cause I, you know, I go about it the proper way. I'm not just making this in my room and throwing it out. Like it's all cleared. I have a relationship with the producers, you know, it's all done properly and transparently. It's a lot cheaper to get Dane Carter than it is for Drake. So I'm a lot less. And it's a cool opportunity. So I think through that, that was the first thing where I'm like, oh, yo, this is like, you know, my friends, little brothers or people, you know, in Australia, I was getting DMs at one point every, probably for 2 months, every day. Yo, heard your song on 2K, fire. I'm from Australia. I'm from Germany. And I'm like, man, this is like, you know, it's not millions and millions of streams, but I'm like, yo, this is like impactful. And this is, you know, not something that everyone would have access to. And, you know, I earned it. Like, you know, they enjoyed the music. They're not necessarily just doing me a favor because if the music's bad, that's not gonna be a good look. It's like, yo, you make good music and you have a connection to us at 2K. So why not just bridge the two together? So not being shy about that and just being like, yep, I do music. And, you know, if there's anything I could do to help outside of work, would love to.
Yeah, that's fire. Shout out to the Aussies for tapping in, man. You know what I mean? The boys down under. Shout out to them. Exactly. So I kind of wanted to ask you, man, because I feel like working in the industry that you work in, man, I think it's such a privilege to be able to have that experience and like, okay, this is how you go about working with brands. This is how you go about connecting creators or influencers or artists to brands and things like that, right?
Yeah.
What does that process actually look like, right? So for somebody who may be like, you know what? I think I have this great product, this great brand. I'm an artist, right? And I'm trying to connect these myself, this business, this platform with brands and monetize and things like that, right? What are some ways that people can kind of take advantage of that if they don't have a huge following, right? They don't have the 100,000 followers. They're not Drake or J. Cole, right? We're trying to get our stuff moving. We might have a great product. And what are those, I guess, next steps that we can take if we're trying to work with some of these brands or collab, right? You've been able to take advantage of it with 2K and in the fashion and shoe space, like, right? So what are some of these tips or ways that I guess other people can get involved in this if they don't have that enormous following right off the bat?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just being a doer, man. Just doing, regardless of how big your platform is, just doing the things you're interested in. Like, I guess a good example is like, you know, there was a time when people were interviewing and I was like meeting with people and they're like, man, like I love sports and I would love to start a sports blog. I was like, yeah, that'd be dope. I was like, do you have one? No, but like, I want to. Okay. Well, not that there's anything wrong with that, but like now you're part of hundreds of thousands of people who love sports. We all love sports. You know what I mean? But it's like an example would be like, you know, there's people who are like, I met with someone who's like, yeah, here's my personal blog. And I just kind of write the things of the month that I think are super cool. And here's ideas that I would have for athletes and pair them with brands, or here top five fashion brands to follow that put out good ads. And it's like, oh, you're doing it. I think that's step one. And then I guess even step two is just like promoting it on social. Like if you have a brand that you're a fan of, create content, tag the brand, you know, use the brand, post about the brand, you know, reach out to people on the team, like just doing the extra step. It's like everyone can post and tag the brand, but like not everyone's going to necessarily go on LinkedIn, find out who the brand marketing team is and get a contact and reach out to the email and let them know, introduce themselves and go about it that route. So I think like, you know, just being able to, it's honestly just being curious, like, you know, what next step can I get to continue to go? And I think through that, I had a lot of people I know who make really good money with less than 100,000 followers and have a lot of brands that paid them a ton of money because they know, you know, they know how to work with the brands properly and they go about it, you know, not necessarily even just a DM. It's just like, go research, invite these people to, if you're an artist, invite someone from the brand to come to your show, you know, just things like that, and just being personable.
Yeah, that's great tips. When you're talking about a Bleacher Report, right, and you're working, you're doing a, like you mentioned, right, you did the, excuse me, the soccer event, and you guys brought out a bunch of influencers to the suite, and you're doing all these different activations and things like that. What are things that you guys are looking for in creators when it comes to people who you guys want to work with or partner with certain brands and things like that? What are some things that help the guys that you guys contract stand out?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit what I said before, but it's engagement. I'm like, it's, you know, we all know the world. I'm like, if I wanted to get 100,000 followers next week, I could buy them. You know what I mean? And that might look good, but I'm like, is that really going to translate to anything? You might be able to finesse a few brands, but like, it's not really, it looks good. So I think like one thing we go for is engagement. Like, hey, who are the people when influencers are posting content, who's engaging in the comments? Oh, these are real people. These are people that, you know, they're fans of. Are they having conversations? Is the audience is like curious about things that they're doing? Or is it 80% bots in the comments? You know what I mean? So I think that's a filter. I think that's more important than following count. Another thing is just like the type of content that they produce. Like, you know, are they creators or are they just, you know, brand ambassadors? And I think that's a big difference. Like, are they just, it's the only thing I have. Yo, I got Lysol. Y'all should get Lysol.
Yeah.
Cool. You know what I mean? Cool. You get a check, but it's like, are you actually creating? Are you actually doing something that people care about? So I think a lot of times we work with creators. And when I say that, it's like, hey, artists, whether it's visual artists, whether it's people that are making tutorial videos, people that are giving insight, people that are, you know, doing things that are beneficial and that the audience could learn from. And ultimately, like, is this someone that our audiences would like? You know, so I think those are probably a lot of the filters. Obviously, following counts for something. You know, at the end of the day, engagement is a big part of what we do. But I think it's just the authenticity of like, hey, they know their audience, they have a good engagement with other influencers, other people. And ultimately they create cool shit at the end of the day, and they do stuff that, you know, people care about and that we're excited to do that's not the norm.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So I think one of the huge themes of not only this conversation, but, and that me, you're talking about even off air and stuff like that, is just like this whole idea of just being multidimensional and multifaceted, man. And I think that you see athletes in the NBA who are, you know, the Dame Lillards of the world, who are doing music and right, hooping. And you got people like Shea who are big into the fashion space and hooping. And like, yep. I think it's awesome to see just, in 2024, where it's a lot more embraced to have multiple things going on, right? You're an embodiment of that also as an artist and as somebody who's big time in the corporate space as well. Like, I think that it's, we just talked about Angel Reese earlier, right? With the Vogue magazine, yep, basketball, bringing it all together. How, I guess, encouraging, how inspiring is that? What do you think that, you know, just for you, from your standpoint, looking at that as an industry, right? Like, how encouraging is that for you as an artist, right? And somebody who is, you know, very multidimensional, multi-talented, right? To be able to see that, like, no, like the world is turning and starting to become a place that embraces people like that and embraces these different talents. And as opposed to it being like a negative thing, like it's starting to become more of a positive, a lot more accepted in society.
Yeah, it's definitely like inspiring, man. I'm like, there's been times where I'm like, man, I had a long day. I'm tired. I don't feel like writing a song. But then I'm like, yo, Dame Lillard just dropped 50 points and made a rap about the trade that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, he's working his ass off. I know, like, practicing and stuff like that. So I think, like, you know, just seeing things like that, it's like, yo, it's hard. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it, you know? So it's like, it's going to be tiring at times. But I think the beauty is, like, people are embracing that. And to your point, like, that's why, like, the Shays, the Dame Lillards, that's why they're so entertaining and engaging, because it's like, yo, we don't just see them on a basketball court. It's like, I can see him in his personal life making music. I can see Shay at a fashion, you know, a fashion show. And I think, like, people really embrace that. And I think if we tie it to, like, Bleacher, I think, like, we want people that are multifaceted, because it ultimately, like, cross-pollinates audiences. So for example, if I'm bringing someone that's a basketball creator that's into fashion and makes music to a soccer game, you might on paper be like, oh, well, like, why would he or she like soccer? Because it's opposite. But like, no, it's cool, because like, this is Lionel Messi, who's the greatest, you know, most followed athlete and probably the greatest soccer player ever. And we're bringing that whole audience of fashion, music, basketball into that world. And we're taking their audience and, you know, merging the two together. So I think like that even works better versus you know, if we get soccer fans, yeah, we're going to continue talking to those same people. But that's how you expand audiences, by getting new, you know, new people that have never seen the sport before, have never embraced it. So I think it's cool, man. It's super cool to see all these people that have, being able to showcase their personalities. Cause I'm like, we didn't see that with, like, you know, some of my favorite athletes, or like Michael Jordan was like a, you know, methodical, like we don't know about him. We just see him when he hoops. Yep. And then he brought the Jordan sneakers, and like, it just expanded a whole different universe.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are some of your favorite, I guess, artists when you're not in music making mode? You mentioned J. Cole is your favorite artist, but outside of Cole, I guess, who are some of your favorite people to tune into and listen to in your free time?
I love J. Cole. I would say I had a big, not as much anymore, but like Wayne was just like the wittiness of like all G's move in silence like lasagna. I'm like, oh wow. Like, think about, you know what I mean? Just like people that say things that make you think. So like Wayne was definitely super witty. I think nowadays I like listening to a lot of R&B too. Just kind of like for like melodies and stuff. So I'm big into, like, I know Bryson Tiller has been putting a lot of stuff out that sounds good. Brent Faiyaz is another one. There's a guy named LA. I'm not sure if you heard of Blast.
Yeah,
he's super dope. So like, I like them from like, I'm obviously not necessarily singing like that, but I'm like, I love the melodies and what they're talking about. But in terms of like bars and rappers, the Cole, Kendrick, Drake, not to be generic, but like, I also love people like, you know, Mick Jenkins. I think he's super talented. Artist from Chicago. Another one I would probably say is, I like a lot of Smino. Smino's putting out a lot of cool stuff. Someone else I'm missing that I'm gonna be mad after this podcast, but I just like melodies and bars and people that are saying things that are like, oh man, this has been, Joey Badass is another one I listen a lot to. Yeah,
I never knew Blast was how you say his name. That's BLXTS.
Yeah, XST. Yeah.
When he listen, learn something new every day, man. I feel like I've been saying bro day wrong.
Nah, you're good. But no, he's tough.
Yeah, he's tough. I feel like so I'm a big time R&B dude now as well. Like I was Bryson, you know, Brent, Giveon, but also a late too, man. I love Kehlani, SZA, Summer Walker, all that. But yep. R&B is in right now, and I feel like
it's new R&B.
Hearing it like on the hoop mixtapes now. Like people are doing basketball highlights with the R&B. I'm like, yes,
fire.
It's fire, man. Like I'm people putting like the Aaliyah One in a Million or some, it's something about seeing a killer crossover in slow mo and like, oh, love. Yeah. You know, it's crazy.
Which is cool, man.
It is, man. I just wanted to kind of get your take on that, because I think I don't know, man. R&B is like making a resurgence. Not that I never necessarily left, but I feel like people are now like, ooh, like R&B. You know what I mean? Like it's cool. Nah,
what's that Keisha Cole song? Is the classic.
The love. Yeah,
all the kids now, I'm like, and the kids in like middle school, elementary, singing it. And she went to like an elementary school and sang it for the kids. And I'm like, man, this song was older than them. You know what I mean? Even Burna Boy, Last. Yep. Tony Braxton. Like there's a lot of people who didn't know about Tony Braxton. And because of that sample, she got a lot of money from that. And, you know, I think it's just like, especially with the sampling, it's bringing a lot of attention to old songs that people don't necessarily, you know, weren't familiar with before. So I think it's a recycle. You know what I mean? It's like it's cool to see that like people are paying homage, and then these artists are, you know, also becoming more relevant because artists are taking their music and have appreciation for it.
Yeah. And I think it just goes back to what you're pointing up earlier. Like it's never an expiration date. Even like John B, The Calling for You, and like example, it's like, man, like I never knew who John B was until I heard the song. I'm like, yo, like I had to go back. And I'm like, dang, I downloaded the original. I'm like, this is a vibe. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And it's crazy that all these songs can like just have that. Man, it could be 25 years later, 30 years later, and somebody sits in a joint, and it's like, boom. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of music. You know what I mean? It's amazing to see.
Yeah, I love it, man. That's the fun thing about it too. I'm like, and that's where I don't necessarily overthink. I'm like, because everything at the end of the day is either recycled or like inspired from something.
Right.
And it's like, I think a lot of times, you know, a lot of artists, myself, you'll be stuck in your head of like, man, I got to do something. so new that's never been done. And it's like, yeah, obviously that's the goal. We want to be original. But at the same time, it's like you could pick and choose things and make your own, you know, make your own menu and make your own flavor, essentially. And I think that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. So the last question I'll ask you, man, before we have a little fun and get you one out the door, man, because we could rap on here all day, man. We could talk to
them. This is fun, man. This is fun.
If you could have a dream collab, right? Yeah. Give me your dream collaboration, like as far as who the artist would be on the song and then what the vibe of the song would be. Like, I'm sure you thought about, all right, man, I want to do this song. This is going to be like the lyrics and I'm going to have this person. It'll be crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I want to hear that.
Damn, that's a great question. It's going to be Dane Carter featuring J. Cole and maybe a hook from a Jasmine Sullivan. So I think I'm kind of looking at like it's going to be like a story, right? It's going to be, there's going to be bars in there, but I think with Jasmine Sullivan, it's going to be like kind of like a neo soul kind of rap sound. So I think that's, that would be super dope. Obviously two incredible artists, but I think like that would be something where it's like, I think those artists could make timeless music. And I think that would be like a moment. And we love either of those for sure. So we're going to manifest that.
And listen, look, I'm glad we do this because we're going to go ahead and have this and manifest it. And when it comes to life, we'll go ahead and drop this clip, man. But yo, that's a great shout right there, because she has probably one of the most beautiful voices, like natural, like insane. Singing, like not even sing. She can sing, not even sing. She can sing. Man. And I can already hear the vibe of the song. Like, that's
I have like a nice little soul sample to it. It's gonna be a vibe. It's gonna be a vibe.
Okay, I love it. I love it, man. I love it. All right, so we're having a little fun here, man. This is gonna be a draft segment. All right, a draft segment. So we're gonna do our top three picks, right? Top three picks each. So you're the guest, so you get the first pick, right? Perfect. Seeing that we got the new single, The Cookout, right?
Yeah.
Two black brothers on the podcast. It's only right that we draft our top three each favorite cookout songs.
That's fire.
So
I love that.
You get the first pick. You get the first pick.
Okay, is this like we're throwing the cookout?
Yeah, like either you're throwing it and these songs gotta be like, if you don't hear these songs at the cookout, something was wrong.
Okay. I don't know if this is gonna be an order, but the first one that comes to mind is, I'm gonna say Before I Let Go, the Beyonce remix. Okay. And we could maybe even do the transition. If we got a DJ there, we could mess the original with the Beyonce. But I think that's the first one. Everyone gets up and dances. Okay, cool. We got a nice little vibe. A nice vibe going.
Okay. We'll start with that. Okay. So I gotta go Cupid Shuffle, man. Gotta go Cupid Shuffle. You know what I mean? I gotta go Cupid Shuffle. You. If this song don't come on at the cookout, it's bad business. Bad business. Yeah.
I'm with that. What's okay? Let's go with, since we kind of in that dance mode. Cupid Shuffle. I don't want to say Electric Slide because I feel like that's generic, but it's a great song. But man, let's go with, I'm gonna take it back. Walk It Out, DJ Unk. I'm trying to keep the old school, but you know, everybody could have some fun to it.
Old school. Yep. Okay. All right. So this is for the real black OGs, man. And this is gonna be the can't get enough. Can't get enough. To be the line dance joke. Line dance joke. You feel me? And now, this is, I told myself, man, I need to learn this song before the summertime. Yeah. Luckily, I got shipped off to Australia for the summer. So so I don't got to be held accountable. But
that's time.
The feats is crazy. Yep. The feats is crazy. So I'm going to give myself till next summer to learn that. So when the cookout come around, I'm hitting it.
I love that.
You do it? Do you know it?
I do not, but I will.
Okay. We gotta have that by next summer, man. The can't get line dance. To me,
it's gonna be a problem.
To me, a line dance, man. To me, a line dance.
I love that.
Can't get enough. Need it.
I'm, I'm gonna go with because I'm kind of fine. I know our playlist is all over the place, but these aren't back to back. These are just at the cookout. I'm gonna go Never Too Much, Luther Vandross.
Ooh, okay.
a little old school. That's okay. my mom's favorite artist, and I'm like, I feel like that would set the vibe.
Yeah,
it'd probably be an older vibe, but it's still a vibe.
Yep. Okay, let's see. Last song gotta get played at the cookout.
It's tough, man.
Cookout music. See, I would have said before the show, okay, you act before I let you go. That's an anthem. That gotta be played. I can't say what I was gonna say because he canceled for that one. So I ain't gonna say that one.
Don't say it. I don't know where you're going, but don't do it. Don't say that.
I think I'm gonna go man. I feel like this is like a new school cookout song. You know what I mean? Okay. So it's not necessarily the old school vibe, but
you
go to a cookout now or any type of like barbecue type function, it's the Jerusalem jump. You ever hear this? The Jerusalem? It's a dance though. All my songs are dances. It's like a little tap, tap, it's like a little feet switch and then you spin around. If you get off of it, you play the song.
I don't know if I know it.
If you play the song, I feel like you might have heard it before, but it's kind of like an Afrobeats kind of vibe. But it gets people dancing. My best friend got married in September, and they played it at the wedding, and like everybody had to dance. Like, it got the step. It's a good one.
I'm gonna check it out.
Like a new school type drink, because it's kind of more than like, you know, Afro beats type of vibe, Caribbean type vibe. But it's a good one though. It's a good one. You play at the cookout, I guarantee you're gonna get people out of their seat and onto the dance floor.
People look at it. Yeah, just anything. I think you hit it. But I'm like I know all over the place with it, but I'm like anything that has a dance to it where people could kind of just get up. I feel like that's the vibe for sure.
Facts. Now this was great, man. And like I said, me and you could hop on here and talk all day, man. But I wanted to ask you one last question, right? We always ask all of our guests this question. Who should we have next on the What's In Your Bag podcast? And whoever you say, you got to get in your point guard bag and give us the assist and help us get a...
I'll go. You know what? I feel there's a lot of people who would be good. I'll throw out Adma Ortega.
Okay.
She works at Wyden and Kennedy. We used to work together at Spring Hill. She also works in talent. She's a talent relations lead at Wyden and Kennedy and was working at the McDonald's All-American game. But super dope person. And I think she would be great and have a lot to say from her background.
Okay.
So we could definitely assist, and I could text her, make sure.
But I appreciate that, man. I'd appreciate that, man. We love a good what's in your bag connection right there. You know what I mean? But this is great, man. I definitely will say, number one, thank you for your time, man. Obviously, it's morning over here in Australia, but it's nighttime over there in the States, man. So shout out to you, man, for just staying up with me, man, and having this conversation.
Of course.
All the folks listening, man, go ahead and stream the cookout. By the time you guys hear this,
it'll be out.
Yeah, go ahead and tap in. You know what I mean? Run that up. Follow my guy. But I just want to say, man, thank you for all the gems that you've been able to share on this podcast and as well. You know, off air, man, like I mentioned before, man, you've helped me out a lot. And I just look forward to following your career, following your journey, man, supporting, showing love. I know you always got family here at the What's In Your Bag podcast, man. And I can't wait to come back to this a few years now and a few years down the line and run that J. Cole, Jasmine Sullivan sample back. You know what I mean? We're going
to
hear it first. Heard it here first.
Likewise, bro. I appreciate your time. This was super dope. And we're locked in, so.
No doubt, guys. All righty, man. This has been another episode of the What's In Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. Like we said in the beginning, guys, make sure you're liking, commenting, subscribing, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend about the good gospel of the What's In Your Bag podcast. This is going to be my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the outro. Until next time, folks, peace.
Peace.
Suave.
I've been in my bag for a while, I'm invincible. Story of a young boss, grinding shit get critical. Calling on my bros one time, cause you special. I had some hood dreams of right rounds for my mentor. Every target that I shoot is on point like a pencil. Different route, change relationships, I'm so sorry. Came up from the trenches and I made it, I say hardly.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.